Welcome to the Ted Brower Show. This is Ted Brower, my co-host Austin Brower. I guess we're the father and son team of health, nutrition, and current news, like the Hagmans are the investigative reporters, who are my excellent, top, absolutely wonderful friends, along with Dave Hodges. So I want to thank you guys for listening today. And, you know, the Plunge Protection Team had at it again today and yesterday. $1 billion was dumped into the market before closing yesterday on Wall Street. And I want to read you this real quick. And so we were able to avert a huge, huge trading loss today by the Plunge Protection Team, whoever they are. And over $1 billion, like I said, was dumped into it. Let me read you this. This is from Pam Martin. She goes, from Riyadh to Tehran, Shanghai to Frankfurt, investors had plenty to sweat about yesterday. The culmination of this perfect storm landed in the U.S. stock markets yesterday, with the Dow Jones Industrial Average was shortly after 11 a.m. off by more than 450 points. The Dow closed the day down at 276 points after some kindly buying support exceeding $1 billion from unknown sources. Do I hear central banks came in to prop up the market at the close? The first weekend ahead of a Monday's stock market open got off to a bad start with trouble spots that are likely to challenge markets throughout the year. Saudi Arabia engaged in mass executions of 47 people yesterday, one of whom was a Shiite Muslim cleric. This set off a wild protest in Tehran, which has a Shiite majority, and the Saudi embassy in Tehran being set on fire. The Saudis responded by cutting diplomatic relations with Iran and neighboring states, closing sides in a mushrooming war of words. By the way, since Saudi is our ally, you don't hear about these beheadings on the evening news. Go back to the article. Typically, upheaval among major oil producers in the Middle East would send the price of oil skyrising. But at the end of trading yesterday, oil was moving in the opposite direction, suggesting to market players that the economic drag on oil prices from subdued global growth and a growing glut is far bigger worry than Middle Eastern clashes. The New York Stock Exchange and the S&P futures trading in Chicago took an early morning clues from one of the most disorderly trading days in Shanghai's history, making the worst ever New Year start for the Chinese equity market, which is not so much that the Shanghai Composite Index fell by almost 7%, but the circumstances that failed that rattled other global markets. This goes on to say, you can read your article if you'd like, but the crazy thing about all of this is it started again today, and this today, the Shanghai market decided that they were going to go ahead and the government stepped in, which means the Rothschild-controlled central bank of Shanghai and of China came to the rescue, and it's basically, let me read you, this is out of Zero Hedge, and it says, after yesterday's historic first day rout in the Shanghai Composite, which saw the first market-wide circuit breaker trading halt apply to Chinese stocks, many were wondering if the Chinese government would intervene in both the once again imploding stock market, as well as the China's plunging and rapidly devaluing currency. And after the Chinese market opened up down 3%, the government did not disappoint and promptly intervened in both the yuan as well as the stock market. However, with very mixed results, with global stocks took a bad sign and have resumed selling for a second consecutive day. However, the global stocks have stayed pretty flat in their drop-offs. And what do you think?
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. I looked at a lot of that yesterday. Can you hear me all right on here?
Hear you great, bud.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. I mean, you would figure with all that in Saudi yesterday that over the weekend, oil would massively go back up, but it's not. It's still sitting around 36. Everything's pretty flat. Gold, silver, everything's really sitting quite stable, actually. So we'll continue to keep an eye out on that. I also just got a new article that I was reading, and it had some new information about basically what's happening out in Oregon. And essentially what's happening now is a local school near Burns, Oregon, is now being staged by the FBI and other federal officers in preparation for an armed raid, supposedly, at the protesters camping out at the Malora Wildlife Refuge. Pete Santilli, who's the talk radio host with TalkNetwork.com, is on the scene and is broadcasting live from time to time. The federal government, is, from what he's saying now, is staging military-style weapons, tactical equipment, long-range observation gear in at least one school, which obviously this completely contradicts the publicized claim that the FBI was seeking a peaceful resolution to the standoff. This type of equipment they're bringing out obviously isn't something they're using to try and de-escalate situations. It's usually for a worst-case scenario, and if the situation does escalate, they're ready to handle it abruptly. So that's just something to keep an eye out on. I told you guys I would keep you informed about that. A lot of people got to realize, man, this is not abnormal. I mean, when we start seeing the government push, people are going to start pushing back eventually. Now, whether or not they're, you know, handling it correctly or not, that's not my place to say because I'm not out there. But this is definitely something everybody needs to keep an eye out on.
You're right, Austin. In fact, CNN has now declared the Oregon occupiers as domestic terrorists.
Yep.
I don't know how they can do that. This is from Kurt Nimmo. And this Juliet Kayyem, billed as a CNN national security analyst, has defined Ammon Bundy and the other people occupying the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge as domestic terrorists. Let's begin with what to call the Oregon anti-government protesters who have taken over the federal building. These men, heavily armed, urging others to come support their cause and claiming somehow that while peaceful, they will defend themselves whatever it takes, are by definition domestic terrorists. By any definition, here is the dictionary definition of terrorism: the use of violence and threats to intimidate or coerce, especially for political reasons. Bundy and his compatriots have so far not threatened violence against the government. They have said, however, if the government uses violence, they will respond in kind. Is trespassing terrorism? Is self-defense terrorism? Is trespassing intimidation and coercion? It seems as though that the CNN, the constant negative news, or the Communist News Network, or the whatever, thinks so. So the crazy thing about all of this is that, you know, this could be a spark. This could be another Concord. This could be another thing that could ignite an entire mess. And so we've got to be really, really careful with all of this and realize we don't need a revolution. We need a restoration. That is what we need. I am not promoting revolution. It's going to go badly. The government they've got cluster bombs and all kinds of crazy stuff that they've never used on American citizens. If they start doing all of that, we're going to find out just what kind of armament we have, like they've learned in Iraq and Iran and everywhere else. I mean, this is a major, major problem when your own government starts to go feral on you like this and starts to make these threats because people are questioning the authority of these people that are inside of these organizations and agencies of the government as far as seizing land without proper due process. So this is a major mess, Austin. It could get really, really bad if we're not careful. We got to pray for this. We got to pray that this thing doesn't escalate and that cooler heads prevail, son.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And, I mean, everybody, I'm sure, has been already looking at the significant problem that we've seen today with Obama. I think on CNN on Thursday, he's going to discuss what steps of action he's going to take with the different firearm restrictions. And I want to kind of go over this for a second as far as to clarify a lot of stuff that everybody's seeming to hear and that people are talking about to me. What he's been saying repeatedly today is that he wants to stop the gun show loopholes, what they refer to it as, or private citizen transfer of firearms, meaning if I want to sell you one of my AR-15s, Dad, I can do so without going to a dealer who is an FFL, which is a federal firearm licensed dealer, and transferring the gun through what is called the NICS database. We don't have to do that by federal law because we're transferring it for personal usage. What they keep bringing up repeatedly now, and what he said he's going to completely stop and outlaw, is any type of transfer of a firearm from person to person without going through the database. Now, the issue that arises with this is they're saying, they like to say all this stuff like, well, the gun show loophole and people are buying them online and all this stuff, and it's really quite false as far as the firearms that we're seeing that are always brought about in these mass shootings. Majority of them were bought through a firearm dealer that passed a background check already. So, again, we already have continuity that's not going together here with their entire story. And what he stated today was, in addition to expanding and bolstering the background check system to cover sales that take place online, which is very few, by the way, personal transactions and gun shows, Obama has also said the administration will provide more funding for mental health treatment, FBI staff, and ATF agents, which that one right there is just a complete and total mockery. I mean, the fact that he needs to give more money to ATF and FBI to do their job, which is essentially nothing, that's already a joke in itself. But let me explain to you, we're already on the verge of having a full-blown gun registry. We already have to go, like I said, through the database when you buy a firearm through a dealer. This is put on a form 4473. a dealer, an FFL dealer in the United States, must retain these papers on file in hard copy for at least 20 years. Now, as soon as he gives up his business or his FFL license, he's required to surrender the entire log to the ATF upon retirement of the firearms business. The ATF is allowed to inspect as well as request a copy of any Form 4473 from a dealer during any investigation. Also, too, in law, in addition, the sale of two or more handguns to a person in a five-day period must be reported to ATF on a Form 3310. Now, if you didn't understand what that meant, what it already meant was they say we don't have a gun registry, a gun database. We do. Technically, under federal law, they cannot use this as a gun database, but essentially, it is what it is already. That's what it is. So what they're trying to do now, instead of allowing private citizens like myself or like Dad to sell a firearm to one of our friends or to us personally, they want to completely make it illegal for any transfer of a weapon from one person to the next person without going through a dealer, so they can have a full-blown background paper trail on it. So when the time comes, they'll have all that information. Remember, these 4473s, they have your name, they have your social, they have your address, they have the firearm you're buying, they have the serial number on them. They have every single thing on them. So this is what they're trying to do. This is one small incremental step. So don't be fooled by these play on words that they like to use as far as the gun show loophole and online gun sales. It's complete and total nonsense. They still have to go through FFL dealers, and majority of the people that buy them from private individuals are usually almost all the time law-abiding citizens, unless they're stolen or hot weapons. And at that point, it doesn't matter anyways. Do you think individuals that are criminals trying to buy a stolen pistol are going to go through a gun dealer? Absolutely not. So I just wanted to clarify that for everybody that's been asking about it.
Well, no, you're right, Austin. Thanks for clarifying it. But the truth of the matter is this. This gun show loophole has nothing to do with gun shows. It really doesn't, because more guns are sold through Craigslist or through classified ads or through the Florida Gun Trader than ever get sold at gun shows. What this is exactly what you said it is. They want to know where every single gun is all of the time, because if I sell a gun or you sell a gun that basically has no tracking, because we look at somebody's driver's license, that is who it is. We don't know who the person is, and they can sell it, they can sell it, they can sell it, and pretty soon it's been sold 20 or 30 times. Nobody knows where the gun is. They want to have complete and total tracking of all firearms in the United States and make it illegal to sell another gun. That way, like you said, they've got to go through the dealers so they keep full records and full lists of guns for confiscation. That's what this is about. This is about gun confiscation. It has nothing to do with gun show loopholes. Nothing. Nothing.
And that's what people have to understand, is that it may not be this month, it may not be this year, but we're slowly moving towards full-blown tyranny in this country where they will eventually try and confiscate the firearms. People can call me crazy. I really don't care. That is the truth. They've done it in almost every single country in the world. They already did it in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina. If you don't believe me, look it up. The military was there disarming law-abiding citizens that were trying to protect their property, homes, and families. Took their firearms away from them, and about 60 to 70% of them never got their guns back or even got reimbursed for them. So don't tell me it can't happen here in America. It just happened last decade because there was a hurricane. That's the only incident that happened, was a substantial hurricane. That was it. So once something larger occurs, once a larger natural disaster, terrorist strike, whatever they want to blame it on, they will now have the legal right to go in and say, well, these individuals can't own these firearms. Go to the gun stores, collect your 4473s if they don't already have them on a digital store database out in Utah with the NSA, if they don't already have them out there. They say they don't, but I don't believe it.
Remember what we talked about? I talked about this on Hagman. See, they've got these quantum computers now that basically crunch all this metadata. And these quantum computers are linked into the Gwen towers and into the cell towers and everything else. And they pick up the frequency that's being generated by our body, supposedly now, because of the use of the Morgellons compounds and because of the chemtrails and the nanocrystals that are being sprayed in us. They're called piezoelectric crystals. I did a whole show on this in the first part of December. And what's interesting about this is, you know, when I started talking about all of this stuff and I started exposing all of this stuff, it was almost immediate that, you know, we started getting some flack about certain terms or whatever that I use, which I've already explained on the show in detail. But the craziest thing is, it's interesting. I'm talking about the blood of Christ and how it sanctifies you and how you're healed by the blood, and how almost all the mainstream denominations in the world now have taken out the blood of Jesus in their hymnals. Nobody wants to talk about the blood. And all of a sudden now I start taking all these crazy emails and weird things online about the fact that I do a show that people don't like. And the sad part about it is, Austin, we have to look at these other issues. They're so much more important. We all, as Christians, have to stay here. Not that the blood of Christ is important. That's probably the most important issue I've ever talked about. Let me clarify that. But we have to, as Christians, stay in a unified thought process. We can't allow ourselves to be taken captive by all of this nonsense, you know, with the media and the Kardashians and all of this mess. I mean, we have to step away from that fray, and we have to realize that as Christians, we've got to stand in the aggregate together as a unified source against the tyranny that's enveloping the United States. And that's the biggest problem we talked about on yesterday's show. It's not happening. Let me give you another example. I just talked to my buddy Jürgen this weekend, and you over at Yalaha's Bakery up in Yalaha, Florida, where they have all organic German breads and pastries. It's a phenomenal restaurant. And you know, we were up there talking to him. I was up there about 4 or 5 hours, and we were hanging out with him. And he's from Germany. He was born close to Frankfurt. And he told me right now in Germany, and I knew this because I've read about it, but his relatives have told him this, that these immigrants are coming in from all over the world now, not just Syria, and they're basically coming in and just going into stores and stealing stuff, defecating on yards, breaking stuff, doing all of this stuff, and the shop owners are told to take a collection of what they owe, what the bill is, send it to the local municipality, and they'll be reimbursed. Okay? Now the German people are getting so frustrated that someone actually fired shots into a refugee building yesterday. Nobody knows who did it. And the reality is, everybody's starting to realize that there's a major, major problem when cultures clash. And we as Christians have to stand together in this culture war is what we have. So let me read you this. Oslo, this is from Pamela Geller. It says, Oslo police have said, we have lost the city. Kronland is more Muslim. This is a city in Oslo, in Norway, is more Muslim than Morocco. And Europe is bringing in millions more. This is from the Norway police. We have lost the city. The article below is about the apocalyptic event of culturally enriched violence in Grønland, a district in the city of Oslo. Grønland is only 2 subway stops away from the parliament and 1 from the central station, fairly close to the government offices that were bombed by Breivik. It looks like it goes on to detail about all of the stuff that people are selling drugs openly next to the subway station. And it says it's not Norway or Europe anymore, except when there's a welfare money to be collected. The police have largely given up. In early 2010, this is 6 years ago, they said that there were Sharia patrols in this area and that gay couples are assaulted and chased away. It says readers should remember that Aftenposten, which is the largest newspaper in Oslo region, is normally pro-Islamic and multicultural. It says that Storm Novik did not suspect any danger when the barrel of a pistol was smashed into his forehead. That was the beginning of 50 minutes of hell as a hostage of the robbers. The women are being raped in Oslo at night, and the men are being robbed more than ever. In just the past 10 years, more than 4,000 people have been robbed in town center in the area of the police station. I mean, this is crazy, Austin. We've got this entire culture clash that is happening, and we as Christians in America need to realize that we have a president who is pro-Islam. He has said that. He's not even wearing jewelry right now because I believe it's Ramadan said you can't wear jewelry certain times of the year. He's not wearing his wedding band or even his watch. He's already said in his book, you know, that he will side with the Muslims if the tide turns against them, and yet we have him in the White House. And we have somebody coming up behind him with Hillary Clinton, who Jerry Salente thinks is going to win this election, who is even worse than him. So, son, we have to – in fact, right now I'm going to pray. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for clarity. I pray for the clarity of the United States. I pray for the clarity of Christians, Lord. I pray, Father, right now that you just give us the mindset of Christ, that you allow us to see what's going on, that you open our hearts and our minds, that our spirits are open, Lord, that we realize what you're trying to tell us, and that we find out what you want us to do, Lord, you know, the Christians in this country, Lord, for the past 150 years, Father, and this is in the aggregate for all of us, we have not done what you've asked us to do. We have not spread the gospel. We have not stood fast in the firm of the faith. We have not done that, Lord. I ask you to forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Please restore our land. Please turn your face back towards the United States. Forgive us for what we've done, Lord. Show us the right way to go. Lead us through your word, Father, so that we can restore this once great nation that was founded on Christian beliefs, Father. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Austin, I felt I really needed to do that because I don't know what else to say, because this whole mess that's happening in Stockholm and in Germany, baby, it's coming to our shores if we don't stop it. And it's not going to get any better. It's going to be worse, Austin. What's your next story?
Yeah, man, it's coming in a hurry. That was my next article. I printed up another one on here from Breitbart London. They stated that in the New Year's Eve celebration on, you know, Thursday, Friday, in Cologne, Germany, basically turned into a war zone. They said after about 1,000 mostly male migrants celebrated by launching fireworks into crowds of people, sexually assaulting and also raping multiple women. They said what's worse is there were only 5 arrests made by the German police despite the wide number of incidences. They said far from a small number of sexual assaults reported that have been made by German-speaking men in initial reports, dozens of women are now reported to have been molested and raped, while dozens more men were also assaulted and robbed. And it's pretty crazy here because it says so far, according to the reports, police have identified 80 victims of this crowd now, 35 of which were subject to sexual assault. Others were beaten and robbed. At a press conference the next day, hosted by Police Chief Wolfgang Obers, police confirmed that the attacks were perpetrated by almost all migrants, all of whom were carrying official immigration paperwork. Obers said the crimes have been committed by a group of people who mostly come from the North African and Arab countries. He's also found the incidents to be intolerable. So people are starting to get pretty sick of it. I mean, the problem is it's getting so bad because what they're doing is, as you mentioned earlier, they're running around these giant groups. There was a story in here of Katie, who was 28. She talked about her ordeal of being sexually assaulted. Essentially, the synopsis was she was walking through the train station with her boyfriend and a group of about 20 different Muslim men. She said they were exclusively young foreign men, basically came together in a group, and they were trying to walk through them, and essentially the whole time the guys were basically groping her and grabbing her and trying to pull her jacket off for about 200 meters, she said, till they finally got out of there. And that's happened repeatedly now on a regular basis down there. So, I mean, people have to understand this isn't a game anymore. This isn't funny. Nobody thinks this is cute. This is a very serious issue, and unless we start putting a halt to this just obscene influx of Muslim integration in the United States, you're exactly right. That's what we're going to start seeing here, because obviously we're seeing that these two cultures do not mix together at all.
Well, see, here's the thing that nobody understands. Well, I'm not saying that. My listeners understand because I've told them. Here's the thing that few people understand if you're not listening to Hagman or Hodges or me or Steve Quayle or Paul McGuire. Those are like my favorites out there, you know, and also Rush Dizdar. Here's what you don't see is that Christianity, though it has its own problems as far as unity of the believer, I mean, that's been going on since the Bible was written in the New Testament, you know, it teaches love and forgiveness and repentance and basically that we need to, you know, love and honor one another. This is not the Mosaic law in the Old Testament. You know, that was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. These Muslims, you know, it's a hand for a hand and a hand for stealing and a head for lying and you get lopping off heads. And I mean, these cultures are so diametrically opposed, Austin, that nobody understands it. That's why I say I will take, you know, 1,000 Hispanics coming in illegally across from Mexico who are Catholics and raised in at least some type of Christian environment, though they may not believe everything that Protestants believe, over someone who believes that you can just openly rape people and cut people's heads off. I mean, this thing is just so nuts. They're forcing these cultures together. And again, this is the globalists. They don't want a society that has national borders. They don't want that. That's what the European Union was all about. They want to destroy national sovereignty. They don't want a person who's an American or a German or a Frenchman or a Brit. They don't want that. They want a member who's just a person of the world with no national identity, because it's easier to control. Because when people have borders, they want to defend the borders. They want to stand in the aggregate at the border and say, no, you're not going to do that to my country. That's what the Treaty of Westphalia was all about, that you can't go into other people's problems, other people's civil wars, and try to bomb them and destroy them and use artillery on them and machete them or shoot them or kill them or charge them with stampeding horses. You can't do that. That's what that treaty has stood for 400 years. But that treaty now means absolutely nothing any longer, because they do whatever they want to do to any country they want to do it to. And if they don't want the people coming into the country, they're a racist. Okay, you don't want all of these people coming in that want to rape your children? You're a racist. No, I just don't want people coming in that want to rape my children. No, 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 that's not why you want that. You're just a racist. Well, no, I'm not. I really don't want people raping my family. Well, no, you don't understand. You're a racist. That's the bottom line. And they get that microphone with CNN and everybody else. They call you domestic terrorist, whatever they want to do, because you're saying, no, I don't want to do this. No, I don't want to. I don't think this is okay. I don't want you raping my kids. You're a racist. You should like it when they rape you. Oh, well, no, I don't want to be raped. Well, no, you're a racist. And that's what they do, Austin, over and over and over again into the media, until the people in the United States have been brainwashed to become politically correct. What do they say? What did Alex Jones talk about this one time on one of his shows? Now they teach you that if you're being raped, you're not supposed to fight back. You're supposed to defecate and urinate on yourself so they don't want to rape you, because they'll find it disgusting, rather than fighting back. That you're not supposed to even take up an arm or shoot somebody anymore if they're trying to rape you or get a knife or anything. You're supposed to defecate and urinate on yourself, or basically you're not giving them the chance that they need to have to rape you, apparently. I don't know. The whole thing has gotten so messed up, Austin, that nobody wants to talk the truth. That's why we as Christians, we have to stay unified. You've got to support the Hagmans. You've got to support Hodges. You go to Hagman's website. He's got a donation page there. I mean, thank you for supporting us at healthmasters.com with your purchase of vitamins. And some of you have actually gone to the donation page there at Healthmasters and you've donated money to us. Thank you for that. We appreciate that. We love you for that, because we're not a 501(c) corporation, but we appreciate that you guys are helping us to keep this radio show on the air and broadcasting. I don't know how much more clear I can be as far as what I'm trying to tell you today. We are in a culture war. We are in a religious war. We are in a war against the blood of Jesus Christ. Nobody wants to talk about Christ. They don't want us to talk about Christ. If we do that, Austin, then we're considered basically, you know, Looney Tunes. Okay, if we talk about Jesus, oh, you're nuts. You're one of those Christian nutbags. Well, no. Well, how about the Muslim nutbags that run around with severed human heads? The radical Islamic Muslims, the jihadists. We can't talk about them? No, you can't talk about them. But he's walking around with a head. There's no head. I see the head. It's dripping blood. No, you don't. There's no head. Well, what about the guys behind them? They're all carrying heads. They got buckets full of heads. No, they don't. You don't see that. That's not real. And they do that Jedi mind nonsense on you, and they try to tell you it's not real, it's not happening, like you're supposed to believe that kind of garbage, Austin. And I'm sick of it.
Yeah, you're spot on, bud.
I just had enough of this. I mean, and we argue about stuff. Oh my gosh, you know. Are you kidding me? We've got an invasion of immigrants coming out of Europe and out of Africa and out of Mexico and everywhere else that are undocumented aliens. A lot of them want to do harm to Americans. We got stock markets crashing all over the world. We've got people getting raped all over Europe and shot and killed and murdered all over Europe. We're on the brink of World War III. And people want to get on these petty arguments and say crazy stuff and start basically killing the messenger. I mean, we need to all stand together in the aggregate and realize that, you know, if we continue to act like this, the globalists are going to work. They're going to win. It's through the Tavistock Institute. And on top of everything else, you know, we have to realize that we all have differing opinions about certain things in the Bible or in our doctrine or in our creed or in our values. It doesn't make any difference. We have to stand in the aggregate. We have to walk away from these differences that are basically destroying the United States now and come together. And I'm talking now, Christians need to come together with Catholics, Protestants, everybody needs to be sitting neck and neck, heck, you know, arm to arm, shoulder to shoulder as Americans now, and realize that this country that we all love is about to go away. And they're doing it very, very quickly now, Austin. It's sad.
It is. It is happening very rapidly. And they, in other news too, you know, we had discussed about the bacteria resistant with the salmonella and E. coli that's basically resistant to all antibiotics. Now, you know, it first showed up in China, then it was in Denmark. Now, basically, it's reared its ugly head in the United Kingdom. Bacteria resistance to all form of antibiotics are actually starting to make their way around the globe now, unfortunately. Remember, in November, we saw a Chinese one. They discovered it in livestock, and as well as over 1,300 hospitalized patients. The same pathogen was found in Denmark in patients and diagnosed with an untreatable form of salmonella. Now the bacteria has made its way into England on 3 farms and in multiple samples of human infections. Now, experts have been warning that the untreatable infections could create an antibiotic apocalypse that would plunge medicine essentially back into the dark ages. Scientists said humanity was on the brink of just such an era when the drug-resistant bacteria were discovered in China, not knowing how quickly it would cross the oceans and infect more people and animals. Scientists in the UK said that the danger to humans is actually quite low for now, but they said they thought they had 3 more years before colistin resistance would spread from China to England. Now they're finding out it's been a single month since that spread. And now what some people, you know, we've discussed before on it, you've got to make sure you're handling your food properly. You also got to make sure you're cooking your food thoroughly. That also means staying away from any unclean meats. That pork, all that stuff, you need to stay away from it. If you're going to eat, you know, clean organic chicken, organic beef, make sure, you know, it's primarily from the United States, because this is where all this stuff is obviously coming from. And also make sure you cook your food properly. And any more tips on this, Deb?
Well, we talked about this yesterday, Austin. You know, we've been told by the World Court that we can't require labeling as to the origin of the food that's coming in the United States, particularly the meat.
Right.
I mean, where'd these guys get off on saying we can't find out where our meat comes from? And if this meat's coming from these different countries that have all these diseases and this antibiotic resistance bacteria, I mean, why in the world do we want that mess here? But now we're told that we can't know the truth about any of that stuff. I mean, that's what I'm saying about. Write your congressman. Get these stinking pedophiles out of the office in D.C. And these weirdos. Get them out. I mean, are you kidding me? Get them out. Vote them out. If they don't want to do what you tell them to do and they're your representation, get them out. And if we take the Congress back over, we can take the country back over, because the Congress runs the purse strings for the whole country. You know, here's another thing. This is interesting. I like this one too. And forgive me for fussing today, but it's been one of my interesting days. And here we go. Trump: Hillary Clinton should disarm her bodyguards if she really believes guns don't keep you safe. This is from Breitbart. On December 19th, Breitbart News reported that Clinton reacted to the surge in gun sales that followed the San Bernardino terror attack by saying, "Guns, in and out of themselves, will not make Americans safer." Then she listed the number of gun-related deaths each year in a way that appeared to suggest guns actually made Americans less safe. On January the 3rd, Trump responded with, "Hillary said that guns don't keep you safe. If she really believes that, why should she not demand that her heavily armed bodyguards quickly disarm?" Yeah, I gotta love Trump. I'm sorry, Austin. He straight calls it all out. He is so pro-go. He said he has a weapons permit and he carries a gun. He's talking the talk and walking the walk as far as I'm concerned. Here's the next article. Ron Paul warns, "Hillary will take us back to war." This is an article from Steve Watson appearing on NBC's Meet the Press. Paul urged viewers to realize that Hillary Clinton has historically supported forced regime change and arming extremists. The difference is President Obama and Hillary Clinton both supported arming the Syrian rebels, the Islamic rebels against Syrian President Bashar Assad. "I wouldn't have done that," Paul said. "They also supported toppling Muammar Gaddafi in Libya, which has caused a giant mess in Libya. The interesting thing is, while Obama gets blamed for not intervening enough, he actually intervened quite a bit in the Middle East, and not to our benefit." And that is so true. That's why I like Paul. I really do. I mean, Paul's amazing. You know, he really is. Go ahead, Oz.
Yeah, no, you're spot on. I had that article too, as far as with Trump, and that's the hypocrisy that you see with all these guys. I mean, that want to sit there and deny Americans of the simple right of being able to defend yourself, your family, and your country if the need arises. But yet they have multiple armed security at all times, wearing soft body armor, usually carrying some form of at least semi-automatic weapon or machine pistol on or about their person everywhere they go, all the time, but yet they want to say guns don't keep you safe. American doesn't need to have guns like this, but yet they need to have guns like that with bodyguards around them all the time. The hypocrisy is just ridiculous. And positive news now, you know, big food companies that want to switch to non-GMO soy and non-GMO corn products without worrying about contamination through normal supply chains can now count on a North Dakota grain plant. Captain Drake LLC has acquired a million bushel terminal with dedicated rail cars that will be used exclusively for the holding and transport of GMO-free grains to meet the growing demand in the U.S. for non-GMO food. Mark Anderson, president of Captain Drake, said the new facility is strategically located to handle the demand for non-GMO grains. He stated that the grain terminal will also allow non-GMO food to be sourced locally instead of importing, and the facility will also support efforts by food companies interested in switching to non-GMO ingredients, according to Anderson. So essentially what they're doing here is they're allowing these companies that want to start using non-GMO grains and whatnot to not have to worry about contamination from the glyphosate and all the other just unbelievably toxic chemicals you get sprayed on all these GMO foods. So I think that's pretty exciting, especially if you can continue to go through with it.
Well, you're absolutely right, Austin. But, you know, the whole thing is we've got to get GMO labeling. We've got to get glyphosate off the market.
Yes.
Monsanto is one of the largest corporations in the world, and it's a huge donor to all these campaigns of all these bums up in Congress who basically want to take away all of our rights apparently now and not let us know what we're eating. See, I have a real problem with that. It's bad enough we're getting sprayed with stuff that we don't know what they're spraying on us from these airplanes at 40,000 feet. Okay, that's bad enough. Now they want us to make us eat food that we think that are okay that may be absolutely awful. I mean, the whole thing is absolutely nonsense to me that we have a situation that we can't be told what the food is, where the food's from, and what's in the food. I mean, I don't even know what to say about that. I mean, who in the world would have thought that this is where we would be by now? I mean, I never thought this would happen in the United States. Did you, Austin?
No, I don't. You absolutely. I mean, it's crazy though, because you're right. I mean, when you really think about it, basically they want you to sit there, shut up, eat your GMO, Chinese-laced, antibiotic-resistant meat, and have a smile on your face and be a good little servant. And that's really essentially what they want. It's crazy that they will not allow food to be labeled coming from out of country. And the same thing with this GMO salmon now they just came out with, that they're refusing to mandate labeling on it. They don't even want to let anybody know that it's GMO salmon.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely right. Here's another article from Nugent. I like old Nugent. I'm not saying that I agree with everything he says, but doggone, he's pretty spot on with almost everything that he says. And he's basically saying that we as citizens of the United States, we're going to have to raise hell about what's going on, and we're all going to die. I mean, are you kidding me? It's the truth, Austin. We've got to start talking about what's happening to our friends and to our family and to our preachers and to our spouses and let people know that these things are not okay with us, and we're not going to sit here and allow this kind of stuff to happen and think that there's not going to be any blowback as far as these guys getting voted out of office. That's the biggest problem. They've been allowed to do all of this stuff and whatever, you know. It's just unbelievable that we've allowed this to go on and it's supposed to be okay. It blows my mind. It really does. I mean, I really don't even know what to say about all this. Here's what Nugent, we the people must raise hell or die. U.S. Marines, Department of Homeland Security, and UN are practicing for gun confiscation. It's by Susan DeClose. She goes, well, with the sheer number of horrors too long to list, perpetrated by an out-of-control government in 2015, still stinging deeply. And then she goes, I pray to God Almighty that more and more Americans... No, this is Ted Nugent saying this. I'm going to recall this. This is Ted Nugent's quote. But with the sheer number of horrors too long to list perpetrated by an out-of-control government in 2015 still stinging deeply, I pray to God Almighty that more and more Americans wake up, which is what I just prayed, to that we the people's duties to raise hell and demand accountability from our elected employees. That's right. They're employees. And then this guy's going to Nugent is saying, he goes, never in my 66 years could I possibly imagine the depth of criminal dishonesty, corruption, and the abuse of power by our own government. Never could I have imagined the flagrant lies perpetrated by so much of the media. Horrors of horrors, the brainwashing and hatred for America has turned nearly an entire generation away from the American dream of earning your own way and pursuing your individual, independent happiness. Now, I will agree with everything Nugent just said right there, and that's the truth. I mean, you know, so he goes on to gun control, gun confiscation, what the government's doing, why they're coming for your guns. And the whole thing about this is that we need to realize that this is not something that they're thinking about. This is something they're planning on doing. I mean, they're actually planning on doing this, Austin, and they're doing everything they possibly can to do it within the constitutional barriers, if, including changing the Constitution and existing and putting executive orders in. So you have to ask yourself a question. Why do they want to take our guns? Why do they want to do that? We read yesterday the one thing, I believe it was the article by Solzhenitsyn, that said basically if the people in Russia had known, they could have resisted the tyranny that was enveloping them, that killed tens of millions of Russia with Lenin and the boys, that they could have stopped it. They should have taken arms, pitchforks, hammers, sickles, anything to defend themselves. The good news is we don't have to be worried about having hammers and sickles and pitchforks. I mean, we have the right to bear arms given to us by the forefathers of our Constitution, who had the foresight to realize that a tyrannical government, if they take away your guns, son, they can take away your life, they can take away your rights, and they can take away your stuff. They can do anything they want to do. And that's the problem we have in the United States. We've allowed the federal bureaucracy to envelop us. And we've got so much government now is strangling the United States.
Well, that just further proves my point, like I discussed earlier, why I wanted to, you know, clarify a lot of that with this whole nonsense, this just propaganda, the rhetoric they're spewing on TV right now about, you know, implementing the included the background laws to prevent the, you know, the gun show loopholes and all this stuff. It's all about because they eventually want to have everybody's firearm purchase and possession on file. Now, they'd have a very difficult time doing that because of the circulation of firearms and the level they're at now. But see, this isn't like we talked about before. These guys aren't on a 5-year plan or a 10-year plan. These guys are on a 200- and 300-year plan. They don't care if it takes them an extra 30, 40, 50 years. If they can eventually completely disarm America, like you just said, Dad, they know that there will be little to no resistance at that point. It's very difficult to go against somebody when you have a pitchfork and they have a belt-fed automatic machine gun. It's just not very fair. It doesn't work out well for the man with a pitchfork unless the tactics are so extreme and he knows the terrain and the ground so well that he can outflank him. But in most instances, it's usually not a positive outcome. That's why I urge people, I've told people repeatedly on here, and I don't like to, you know, try and turn this into a gun promotion show, but the more I keep seeing about this on CNN, I feel like I have to be a positive influence on everybody so they don't get brainwashed by this complete and total negative rhetoric on TV, is that go buy a firearm. Go buy one from your buddy. Go buy one from your gun show. Wherever you want to buy one. I mean, get one and own it legally and enjoy it. Practice with it. Train with it. Operate it. Learn how to become proficient with it. I mean, we still live in a country where you can go buy a 50 caliber Barrett. I can go buy a belt-fed automatic machine gun with a $200 tax stamp. We can still do those things here. We need to do them before we can't do them anymore. Because what happens is if they don't, if they stop allowing us to do these things over the period of the next couple of years, we're going to look back in disgust on how we handled this and really be quite ashamed to know that we had the chance to keep everything maintained and stable, but we allowed ourselves to be completely disarmed. And now we're peasants and serfs in basically a world that we can't even operate or control without being under complete and total dictatorship anymore. That's where it's headed.
All right, let me go ahead and change the topic because you're right, we're getting off on this too much now. Let me talk about 10 children's snacks that are made with petroleum products, gasoline oil, okay? This is, you guys are going to love this one. Kraft's macaroni and cheese. Kids will readily eat a bowl of Kraft's macaroni and cheese at any time of the day. Nevertheless, the beloved snack is by no means safe, and the mustard tinted sauce it boasts of is by no means natural. Kraft's macaroni and cheese uses artificial dyes like yellow 5 and yellow 6 that contain petroleum. These artificial dyes are also carcinogenic, meaning they pose an increased risk for cancer. A combination of artificial cheese and noodles never surrounded but very nutritious, never sounded very nutritious to begin with. Anyway, but if a Big Mac and cheese is an absolute must, then it's best to make it from scratch. Next thing, Pop-Tarts. Another iconic brand that kindles nostalgic memories of childhood is the beloved Pop-Tart. This frosted, heatable, fruit-filled rectangle is the go-to snack for many children. It should come as no surprise, however, this snack is shaped like a cardboard box. It's about as nutritious as well the cardboard. Cherry-flavored Pop-Tarts contain Red 40, an artificial dye shown to cause cancer in rats. Furthermore, Pop-Tarts contain synthetic B6 composed of hydrochloric acid and formaldehyde and petroleum ester. The very names of these ingredients are far from healthy. Number 3, fruit roll-ups. Contrary to what this name suggests, the fruit roll-ups are made of anything but fruit. They mostly consist of artificial additives made from petroleum products, including Red 3, also known as E-127, or ethrosine. Fortunately, the solution to the fruit roll-up dilemma is simple. Just replace your child's fruit roll-up with an actual fruit. Keebler's Club Crackers. Children love to munch on crackers. Unfortunately, many crackers are laced with TBHQ, also known as tertiary butyl hydroquinone, a universal ingredient responsible for preventing certain oils from spoilage. Long-term consumption of TBHQ can lead to delirium, nausea, and even a ringing sensation in the ears. M&Ms. The chocolate inside our beloved M&Ms is encased in a shell of toxic food dyes. The company uses a wide variety of food dyes to give M&Ms their colors. They include yellow 5, yellow 6, red 40, all of which are derived from gasoline and petroleum. Studies have shown that there exists a relationship between artificial dyes and hyperactivity in children. Cheetos. Cheetos cheat your health. The artificial dye yellow 6, the dye responsible for the distinct orange color of Cheetos, is produced from petroleum. I mean, are you kidding me? Pringles. Once you pop, you can't stop. Unfortunately, potato chips are chock full of dangerous food dyes like Red 40, which is added to the extreme Raging Cajun variant, as well as petroleum derivatives. Red 40 is linked to allergic reactions and hypersensitivity in children. On and on and on. Next is Fruit Loops, Teddy Grahams, Cheez-It crackers. All of these things have petroleum byproducts in them, and avoid them. Stay with your stuff at the health food store. Better yet, make your own snacks. You can make all kinds of stuff for your children at home. They don't have to have this stuff. And remember, a 2 or 3 or 4 year old child, or 8 year old, or 10 year old child who's eating these types of food, they didn't get into the car and run down to the grocery store and buy this stuff. We're buying this and bringing it back to them. That's the problem. We're giving them the toxins that are basically destroying them unwittingly and unknowingly. So make your own food for these kids. Try to buy organic. Try to buy non-GMOs. And also, you know, it's so funny. I used to, until just a few years ago, when I'd go to a grocery store or whatever, even at Sam's, and I would see people buying white bread, which is almost completely devoid of nutrients. They take a bunch of nutrients out of the bread. They put a bunch of chemical synthetic nutrients back in it, and they call it enriched, which is completely nonsense. And I would say to people buying white bread, which has virtually no fiber in it, which causes massive problems with constipation, I say, why are you eating this? Well, because it's enriched. Don't you know white bread's bad for you? No, I didn't know that. And I'm talking like just about 3 or 4 years ago. And I'm like, well, do you not know whole wheat's better? Yeah, but I don't like it. And I'm like, wow, okay. See, that's the problem. That's why we're leading the world when it comes to heart disease, to diabetes, and to cancer, Austin. That's why the leading cause of death on our kids age 14 and under, other than accidents, is cancer, which is leukemia. That's why children are being born with leukemia, because prenatal nutrition, in a lot of cases, is simply non-existent nowadays, plus all of the immunizations these pregnant women are now getting, which was, that was sacrosanct. You never, ever, back in the 50s or 60s, immunized a pregnant woman. We saw what had happened with the thiamide disaster that was being taken orally back in the 50s when these children were being born with no arms and no feet and no hands and everything else. It was awful. You can't mess with pregnancy and with women who are pregnant. You've got to let that fetus develop properly, and you can't be adding a bunch of stuff to it. So at Health Masters, we've got all kinds of great prenatal vitamins for women that are pregnant. We've got our newsletter. We talk more and more in detail about all these different dyes and all these chemicals. You can sign up for our free newsletter email. There's no cost on it whatsoever. Go to healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. Or you can call us, and we can add you to the list if you'd like. 1-800-726-1834. That's 1-800-726-1834. Any more health stories, Oz?
Yeah, well, I just wanted to go a little bit further, yeah, on the, you know, a lot of the vaccines and stuff, too, especially for pregnant women. Most of you guys already know, you know, I'm going to be a dad in April. My wife, we're having a little boy, and we've already had to go through all this already as far as, you know, we're using a midwife, so they're pretty cool about it, but we've had multiple friends of ours, you know, as far as the hospitals, the OBGYN, the pediatricians, all these guys, they're always so pro-vaccine. And now, like you said before, now they're trying to push flu vaccines on the pregnant women, saying that they need them on top of that. And what's crazy is the article about 2 months ago talked about they did a test that was conducted of mercury in the flu lava vaccine, which is a specific flu vaccine right now, and it had a shocking 51 parts per million of mercury. 51 parts per million. Which is actually 25,000 times higher than the maximum contaminant level of mercury in drinking water set by the EPA. Injecting this into people, you know, and they're wondering, people wonder why you get so stinking sick when you get the flu vaccine. It's not just because the flu vaccine, because they make it inactive or deaden it or weaken it or whatever they want to call it now. The virus lays dormant. It's all the chemicals and toxic garbage that they're filling your body up like a landfill for absolutely no reason whatsoever. You don't have to take these shots to be healthy. They've never been proven scientifically to help out with overall health, ever. If you ever see a study and they try and show that to you, it's complete and total bogus, and it's been rigged and skewed to favor them on their side. It's garbage. Don't take them. You don't need them. There's way too many ways to stay healthy, like our vitamin C, our D3, you know, the iodine. I mean, we have a couple of kits on the website that are really cheap for basic healthy immune system. That's a great protocol to go with, especially for pregnant women. That's what Lana's taking all the time. And she got, you know, she had her blood work done multiple times. It comes back perfect. She's super healthy. But you also have to use common sense. Don't be going into super crowded places, rubbing your hands all over stuff, rubbing your faces, touching shopping carts before you wipe them down. Wash your hands, cook your food, stay away from heavily populated areas when you're pregnant, and use some common sense and don't be an idiot. You're pregnant, you're carrying a child, you don't need to inject your body full of just unbelievably deadly toxins for no reason because your doctor said you have to. No, that's nonsense. You don't have to do it.
Now, Austin, I have to correct you on one thing. Our listeners aren't idiots, okay? Our listeners are very smart, and what you're doing is referring. Don't you got to say it? We know you guys won't do it. Don't be like the idiots who do this, but we know that they're not going to do this because our listeners are extremely bright, and we keep getting all these letters thanking us for our show. But we have to understand that, you know, everybody's got to realize that, you know, Austin's 100% right. Don't go into a bathroom if you're pregnant and start, you know, touching all the handles and touching your face and not washing your hands and touching all the filth. Don't do all that. Just avoid the heavily populated areas, and if you know that there's a flu out that break that's going right now, don't run over to one of the big theme parks and run around and touch everything and get around.
No,
this is not necessary. Here, one more quick thing. We're almost out of time. This is a salt restriction. Actually, has been shown now to increase heart disease deaths and hospitalizations. Yes, I said that right. Salt restriction. Now, what I'm not talking about, again, I mentioned this the other day, I am not talking about Morton salt that's been used in drying fields being sprayed with chemtrails. I'm talking about deep mine salt that's pink in color. And this is a medical doctor who's not giving the source on here, and he goes, what his name is, it says, but since graduating from medical school in 1989, I've come to the conclusion that much of what I was taught was wrong. In fact, at my medical school graduation, the dean said, 50% of what we just taught you was wrong. Your job is to figure out which part was correct and which part was incorrect. When medical students come to my office, I always encourage them to question everything I tell them, furthermore, to question what they've been taught. And he goes on to say, I was taught in medical school that a lowered salt diet was a healthy diet for everyone. Furthermore, it was drilled into my head that anyone with heart disease, particularly heart failure, should limit his salt intake. In fact, it is still the standard of care for a cardiologist to tell the patient to limit salt. This is especially true when a patient is suffering from heart failure. So does limiting salt in the diet of a patient with heart failure result in a better outcome? A recent study from the Journal of the American College of Cardiology, Heart Failure, Volume 1, 4, Number 1, January 2016, sought to evaluate the impact of sodium restriction on heart failure outcomes. The authors enrolled 902 patients with heart failure and followed them for 36 months. Based on the sodium intake, the subjects were classified as sodium-restricted and unrestricted groups. The primary outcome was death due to hospitalization from heart failure. So what they're saying is this. The actual research showed that sodium restriction was associated with significantly higher risk of death or heart failure of hospitalization, 85% higher, according to the study, compared to those who did not restrict their salt intake. For every 6 subjects that restricted the salt intake, there will be 1 increased death or hospitalization. So what they're saying is, you know, do it in moderation, but don't not eat salt. Okay, don't do that and use the salt that we have. Guys, thanks again for the show today. I appreciate you guys listening. Salt's important. I use it every single day. It used to be traded. It was actually some places more valuable than gold in the Old Testament when people ran out of salt because they died. Make sure you get enough salt in your diet every day, the good, clean salt. We love you guys. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you tomorrow, another live show then. Austin, you got anything in closing?
Yeah, you guys aren't idiots. You're great. I apologize about that.
We love you guys. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.